Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Hour two of the show here on a Tuesday. Dan Matthews in for Chuck as the rest of the week. Don't worry, we're still going to be here. You're going to have me again tomorrow and then a best of on Thanksgiving Thursday. So if you missed anything from the week and you want to go back and listen to it again, guess what? We're going to have it for you right here on the show. So we'll have that coming to you on Thursday. And then Friday, I believe we're going to get John Michaels. I believe we're going to get John in on Friday with us. So we'll see how the week shakes out. But for right now, you know what we do when we start the top of hour two. We give you headlines.
Everything you need to know about college football every single day. This is CFB 365, presented by Ecoderm. Text Ecoderm to 31996 now for your free sample of Ecoderm pain relief cream and CBD from Frank Thomas. Text Ecoderm to 31996 now.
First headline, college football playoff rankings set to be released. Alabama likely going to be the number one team. We just touched on this a little bit with Dave Bartu of College Football Matrix. Wouldn't be surprising to see Notre Dame at number two, Clemson at three. And he going with Ohio State, and I think a lot of people believing that will be the case as well. Ohio State 4-0 on the season. Others that could be vying for the opportunity, Texas A&M at 5-1. Florida is 6-1, so we'll see who rounds out the top four of the initial top 25 that's coming out tonight. And again, too, look, if your team's not there right now, don't be upset about it. There's still a lot of football left to be played. As a matter of fact, it wouldn't shock me, to say the least, if one of the teams vying for positioning in the top four this weekend or next weekend fall, because we're in upset season. This is when they happen. And also, too, we've got conference championship game season, which we'll get to in just a second, and the opportunities that lay ahead for that. So we'll see how it all shakes out. I think that the top four is pretty much going to be not too far off of what we see right now. But again, stranger things have happened, and don't we know that 2020 is weird for a reason? Second headline, movement on the SEC schedule this weekend. Arkansas at Missouri, postponed. Now, they could replay it, as there is those makeup dates already that the SEC has designated for December 12th and for December 19th. So we'll see what they do in terms of that rivalry game. The Razorbacks do have some COVID issues that they're dealing with right now. So we'll see how that shakes out for Sam Pittman's program. Mizzou still going to play this weekend, though. They're going to get Vanderbilt. The Commodore is going to come to town. A noon kick in Columbia, Tennessee, in Vandy. We're supposed to happen this weekend on rivalry weekend in the SEC, but that's not going to happen now. So we'll see when they do make that one up. All right, Kyle Pitts going to be back for Florida this week against Kentucky. The tight end missed the last two games after leaving the Georgia game in Jacksonville with a concussion. He's pulled in 24 catches this year, 414 yards, 8 touchdowns. Gators turning to Kadarius Toney, Trevon Grimes, and Kamore Gamble as players that have really stepped up for Dan Mullen's offense during that stretch. But again, too, you know, I want to talk about the numbers that he's put up to this point. 24 catches, and 8 of those have been for touchdowns. So that's much more than they're just looking for him down in the red zone. That's a guy making plays. And that's somebody that's been able to be a real difference maker for Florida. Boy, what a great time to get him back in terms of the stretch run towards the SEC championship game. Because Florida's going to make the SEC championship game at this point. I mean, I understand you might say, well, you know, if they lose a couple of games, they're not losing a couple of games. That's not even happening. They're not even going to lose one game. And that's all that they would still need in order to get to Atlanta for the SEC championship game. So if you're a Bama fan and wanted to see a rematch with Georgia, guess what? You're out of luck, because it's going to be Florida. They're going to be there. And this team's really good. That's going to be a fun game to watch on Championship Saturday in college football. Next headline, the ACC, speaking of conference championship games, making it official and announcing that their title game is going to be played December the 19th in Charlotte. We knew all of that. 4 o'clock kick on ABC for that one. And just like we're already expecting to see Alabama and Florida in the SEC, I think that we can probably, although North Carolina might have something to say about it this weekend when they take on Clemson Notre Dame on that Friday. So it's going to be the Tar Heels and Irish on Friday from Chapel Hill. So that'll be a game to watch. North Carolina has been up and down this season. I know that a lot of people want to see Notre Dame knocked out of the chase here and not have a chance, but I know that Clemson probably wants to see the Irish on that opposing sideline on Conference Championship Saturday. So we'll see if Brian Kelly's team obliges, and they do meet them in Charlotte for that. So we do know a date and time for the ACC. Final headline, 30th annual Home Depot College Football Awards to be held virtually January 7th on ESPN. It's going to air in a 90-minute special starting at 7 p.m. Eastern that day. It's going to be hosted by Chris Fowler and reporter Holly Rowe. Basically, every award that is not the Coach of the Year Award, which is the Bear Bryant Award and the Heisman Trophy, are handed out that night. And they usually, in a non-pandemic year, hold it in Atlanta at the College Football College Football Hall of Fame. Awesome event. And selfishly for me, it's an awesome event because they make the best players in college football available to the media. And then also, too, during that time, the night of the awards, they would always bring in the four coaches for the College Football Playoff that are going to be playing in it for a huge press conference, and just the access and everything. It's awesome. You've heard it on this show. But again, times are different right now, so we got to do things a little bit differently as well. All right, coming up next, let's get into Mississippi State. DogsBite.com. David Murray, he's going to join us right here on the Chuck Oliver Show. It's Dan Matthews in for the King right here on Southern Sports Today.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. It's always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the King of College Football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Moving along here on a Tuesday on the Chuck Oliver Show. Executive producer Dan Matthews in the seat today for Chuck. Chuck, be back next week after the Thanksgiving holiday. Hopefully, those of you moving around today, tomorrow, whenever for the Thanksgiving holiday, hopefully you do so safely and have a very happy and healthy Thanksgiving as well. And always appreciate you listening to us here on the Chuck Oliver Show. Whether you take us in on the app, the Southern Sports Today app, or if you take us in on one of our numerous affiliates. And as Chuck has talked about, too, we got another one coming along here pretty soon. So we're looking forward to that. All right. As I've teased throughout the show, a chance to talk some Mississippi State football. We're going to do that right now with DogsBite.com's David Murray, as he will join us after the Dogs coming up short against the other Bulldogs, Georgia, on Saturday, 31-24. David, Appreciate your time as always. What kind of confidence that give that team to come out of there even with the loss, but coming up so short against a team that a lot of people have high hopes for?
Well, in a couple of ways, Dan, and good to talk to you, by the way. It obviously it helped a team that had struggled so badly through four losses and then did not look good for a good fair portion of a win over Vanderbilt to come out after an unexpected open date when the Auburn game was postponed. And to play well, that's a good thing in and of itself. But to do it so shorthanded, because as is well known, State took 49 scholarship players to Athens, and that's, yes, that's four under the published minimum, but as everybody's learning now, there is some wiggle room built in as long as you meet the position group minimums, which State barely did at quarterback. They've only got one. There's only one scholarship quarterback left until KJ Costello comes off concussion protocol. And even when he does, the show Will Rogers put on the other night as a true freshman against a pretty good Georgia defense who came out and tried the same schemes that had worked so well against State. And when he forced them out of zone into more man coverages, you're thinking, this kid's got something going. And you have another true freshman who scored both the State's rushing touchdowns, a true freshman who caught the pass for the touchdown. That's an all-true freshman offense that you're seeing out there in the skill positions, essentially. So, yeah, they're gaining confidence, but they're having to gain it the hard way, and ultimately they still gained it in a loss.
Yeah, and we're going to get to Will Rogers in just a second, but you touched on it a little bit, and I just thought that was so interesting of Mike Leach deciding 49 scholarship players, we're going to play. We're going to do this.
Well, I mean, all right, let me interrupt you right here.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
That was not necessarily Mississippi State's decision. I don't want to ruffle any feathers among my friends in Birmingham, but that game was strongly encouraged to be played by outside authorities. Let's just put it that way at this point. State was shaky about taking that few players, particularly the defensive side, where there was just almost no depth on the defensive front, secondary, as was shown. Boy, JT Daniels looked great, but he was doing it against a patched together secondary. And he was still dropping dimes, but those guys were just so overmatched. Yeah, that game, had Mississippi State had its druthers, it probably would not have been played. So let's get that out there on the record.
Ah, fair enough. I mean, you know, you talked about the defense who, even though short on numbers on Saturday night, really all throughout the season, I think we can agree, David, has been a huge bright spot for this team, especially against the run. I mean, how much of a surprise has that been?
Well, it was very surprising because talking to Zach Arnett, coordinator, in the middle of the week, he was just praising Georgia's run game and the blocking, the skill personnel they have to, you know, support the running backs and the running backs themselves who are great players. And to get totally shut down like that, it's essentially a three-man front with only one true alternate. You know, we took essentially four defensive linemen to Athens. It was really impressive and, frankly, just plain startling that they were able to stymie Mac Lute's offensive line in the ground game. Now, to give them credit, they sure held up in pass protection most of the game there. But State's defensive effort by the front three, the linebackers, and really, I comment on the secondary, it's not fair because both starting safeties are now out, one with injury and one opted out last week. Mm-hmm. The other guys, it's a mix of either young players or walk-ons who have been scholarshiped in the past are brand-new walk-ons. So that was just a totally overmatched secondary, and Georgia had the firepower to take advantage of it. You look at those freshman receivers Georgia has and thinks, man, it's going to be an interesting SEC East the next couple of years between them and Florida and the offensive firepower situation. But the Bulldogs, and now they're facing a team that throws it deeper more than any other team in the conference in Ole Miss. So, yeah, they know what they're up against this week, but they figure, you know, we hung in there, did the best we could. They might get a couple of guys back this week, but I don't think it will be at the key positions. The ones who were quarantined, a linebacker, Tyra Sweet, and a few others, I do not think they'll be back this week.
David Murray joining us from DogsBite.com. And you touched on it a little bit as we go back over to the offensive side of the ball, and that's the play of Will Rogers in what we saw the other night. And I think impressive is really the only thing that Mississippi State fans can say about his performance, because did anybody see this coming out of him?
Well, we did in a sense that he in high school played an offense, not identical, but close enough to an air raid concept. And he was signed by Joe Moorhead. Let's not forget that. But he was recruited by Mike Leach at Washington State before he took the Mississippi State job. So he was very aware of Will Rogers, who came for a couple of practices in bowl camp last year. He's a guy that, had he been able to go through spring football, and let's also remember, he was quarantined the first two games of this regular season. He missed the LSU game, and he missed the Arkansas game. Had he not been quarantined, I really believe that he would have jumped into the starting lineup at least a week and maybe 2 weeks earlier once KJ Costello started really struggling to read drop coverages, three-man rushes, things like that. But part of it, too, is he was getting the ball out on time, which reduced the demands on State's blocking, which has been a weak link for the past month or so. He found guys who are picking their spots. The one thing this offense truly lacks, and we don't know what his capability on the deep ball is, because he's had no chances to throw it. Mm-hmm. Malik Heath, our best threat, was not in the game. He was also out quarantined. We'll probably miss this game as well. So you haven't seen that. But just the fact that he stepped forward like that and made plays. I think Mike Leach, the best comment he made about Will Rogers was not so much about his intelligence, which is there, or his skill set, which is there. He said, this is a guy, a rare freshman, who just lets himself go out there and play. And when you mull that comment over, you start to see what it means for true freshmen in the SEC to just let yourself go play ball.
I mean, David, it almost sounds like the comparison you just made right there and what you said that Mike Leach likes about his quarterbacks. I mean, I think back to what he had when he was at Texas Tech, Graham Harrell, coach's son, somebody that was a grinder on the field. Same deal with Cliff Kingsbury and others that he had had as well, that it sounds like he might really like and have found something with Will Rogers. So we'll see how that plays out for them this season. Again, David Murray, DogsBite.com, joining us here on the Chuck Oliver Show. The Egg Bowl, you've touched on a couple times today. What's the formula for Mississippi State to be able to pull this one out on Saturday?
Well, you don't go in thinking you're going to shut Ole Miss's offense down, because not only do they have deep threats, their entire starting receiver rotation is better than State's receiver rotation. Let's just be upfront about that. Their top four or five receivers are better than anything State's going to put on the field. They have a guy, Matt Corral, who's winning on his game and seeing the field well, is going to find those guys. So the first thing you do is go and say, we're not going to shut them down. We're certainly not going to shut them out. State has to go out there and just take some chances, which you saw at Georgia. I mean, remember that 3rd-and-20 touchdown that Daniels hit was on a blitz play, and everybody's yelling about, why do you blitz on 3rd-and-20? You got no choice when your secondary is so shaky. You've got to gamble. State is going to have to take chances defensively this week and hope that Corral has, instead of, say, his game against Alabama, that he has his game against Arkansas, where just somehow he throws to the wrong team. Offensively, I don't know, again, that the deep ball opportunity will be there. So every quick opportunity to get the ball out, not take contact, and the running backs are really going to have to show up this game. They averaged 4 yards a carry against Georgia. Okay, that's not a great number, but it was a great improvement over what they had been doing in previous games. And now that Jaquavius Marks and Dylan Johnson are taking a step up those positions, and then you've just got to get one more lineman back healthy, which may happen this week, and you just roll the dice and take the shot, because in this year, you know, again, this is the most intense game of any season, but even from both fan bases, it's hard to see a lot of intensity going to this game just because it is that kind of strange year. So you go out there, and the main thing is which team truly most wants to be on the field come Saturday. I think that more than anything will determine how this game plays out.
Yeah, it's going to be an exciting one for sure. I mean, I know a lot of people really upset that they have to choose between this one and also the Iron Bowl. But you know what? College football in 2020, any way we can get it, we definitely enjoy it. That is for sure. David Murray, DogsBite.com, joining us on the Chuck Oliver Show. David, have a great Thanksgiving. Enjoy the game, and we'll catch up with you again very soon.
Good to hear from you, and let's just try to get this SEC season played out. I'm to the point now that playoffs, bowls, things like that, that's all going to be nice. But if the SEC had managed to get every team 8, 9, even 10 games in this regular season, that may be one of the great accomplishments athletically by any conference in modern history.
Yeah, I look forward to that documentary one day, that's for sure, as we hopefully get to look back on this in the past here in the very short future. David, really appreciate your time again, and we'll talk soon.
Good to hear from you.
All right, David Murray again, DogsBite.com, and a lot of things he's talked about with that Mississippi State team, and now I kind of can see why Mike Leach liked this job and why he took this job is because, look, he's not the one that is going to lead the top-tier program and necessarily be comfortable. He likes being the underdog. He likes being the grinder, and he likes being able to have players that fit those criteria.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
A little bit more to go here today on the Chuck Oliver Show. Dan Matthews in for Chuck here on Southern Sports Today. Tomorrow, of course, if it's a Wednesday, that means it is a Chris Landry Wednesday from LandryFootball.com, as well as our good buddy Russ Mitchell from College Football News. He's going to join us, but for right now, let's turn our attention to the Tennessee Volunteers, as things have not gone so great. Well, even for my next guest's dog, Gus, who apparently cannot get his owner to play fetch with them. That's too bad. Wes Rucker from GoVols 247. Wes, your dog looks so sad. Why?
Well, because everything else got postponed yesterday, and I just thought that it would be fitting. You know, I mean, yeah. Tennessee can't play football now this week, can't play basketball for a couple of weeks. Mm. So, you know, it's just, hey, you know, you got to sacrifice with everybody, right?
Yeah, disappointment abounds. There's no doubt about that. And on Rocky Top, that's definitely been the case this year. A 2-5 mark right now for the Vols. What's the annoyance right now with Pruitt seemingly sticking with Jarrett Guarantano, and really, you know, it seems like any time I ever hear him talk about him, he talks about the good things he does, and I'm sure he talks about the things he needs to get better at and improve, but I got to believe it's kind of a, coach, if you're not going to move now, when's this going to happen?
Yeah, you know, the frustration comes from the fact that I think that this team, you know, when you break down the performances, this is not a bad team. This is a decent team that is not getting production from quarterback. And again, that's the most important position on the field, so I can't say it's like, hey, you're a good team, even though that's happening, because there's no more important plays on the field. But I think there's a simple fact here that if you gave Tennessee just an average quarterback, I think this team is, you know, at worst like 4-3 right now. I really do believe that. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, that's the coach's responsibility for getting better play out of the quarterback, so I'm not exonerating or excusing them in any way. I'm just saying I don't think they're that far away if they can get something figured out at that position. But can they do that? I don't know. And the frustration comes from the fact that, you know, Guarantano can spend most of a game doing what you need him to do. And then time and time again, we've seen over his career, when it really, really matters, it's just something bad is going to happen. I mean, it's not just going to be bad. It's going to be a disaster. It's going to be a 100-yard pick six or fumble six. It's going to be a turnover at the wrong time. It's going to be a missed pass that you just can't miss that decides the game. I mean, there's going to be something that pops up. You know, it's just there's clutch players, and then there's players who are just not. And this guy just has not been. And that's frustration for Tennessee because I don't think it's a terrible football team. I really don't.
Yeah, I mean, this week now, too, with not being able to go against Vandy, and it's another chance to get practices in, and almost another kind of mini spring, as I've heard some coaches talk about it, I'm sure, is the way that they're going to use it up in Knoxville. Could that time be used for the final three games to get Harrison Bailey ready?
It could be, you know, because, I mean, you think about this, so now be Tennessee's third open date in 5 weeks, I think. So, you know, that is kind of like a a camp of sorts. And I, you know, the question has been, is it the best thing for Harrison Bailey to put him in there as a freshman? Because there's been some speculation, including from Pruitt himself, that one of the reasons Jared Garantano's career hasn't gone the way anybody wanted is because the previous staff forced him on the field too soon. Mm-hmm. And maybe before he was ready. And it may have messed with him mentally. It may have hurt him more than it helped him. You know, sometimes experience for the sake of experience isn't a great thing. If your experience is kind of traumatic, then you're not really building off of that. You know, you could say what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, but, you know, sometimes it can beat you down a little bit as a young player. And physically too, just get you beat up. So I think that can be sort of a defeatist way to think about it. But I think considering the way Garantano's career has gone, I understand why he might feel that way. Now, all cards on the table, I would play Bailey at this point, and then I would let Bailey and the kid coming in next season, who gets here in January, Caden Salter from Texas. Let them settle it out in a competition. But it's not my position. It's not my job. It's not my decision to make. And I, at least until last week, I understood why Pruitt felt the way he did. Now I don't. Now I think you just kind of have to do it, but we'll see if he does it.
And as part of that too, Wes, I mean, where it seems like maybe Pruitt's fallen out of favor with the fans?
A little bit. You know, I mean, look, there's no question. Once you're at Tennessee, you know, people understand what the program's been through. People understand that you had to do some rebuilding. But when you win eight consecutive games, and I don't care who you're playing, who you're facing, when you win eight consecutive games, expectations are going to go up a notch, right? You know, it's okay, you've been recruiting pretty well. It's your third year. You won eight in a row. Let's get this thing going now. And that adds to the frustration, right? Because you shouldn't, you know, some of these losses, frankly, just should not have been losses. Georgia, okay. Bama, okay. But Auburn, they played well enough to win that game. Mm-hmm. They did. Kentucky, inexcusable performance. Arkansas, just a complete destruction in the second half. There's losses that just should not be happening. And that's where the frustration is coming from. It's that, listen, it's been a weird year, but it's been a weird year for everyone. And clearly, something Tennessee has done or not done this season has hurt it compared to the rest of the league, because Tennessee was a program going in a better direction. How much better does that win over Indiana look at the end of last season now? My goodness. I mean, this team is not that far away. It's got plenty of big guys up front who are good players. It's got a couple of good running backs, including one who's really good in Gray. It could get better at some other positions. Henry To'oto'o, though, one of the better inside linebackers, in the league, if not the country, as a sophomore already. Alante Taylor and Bryce Thompson, there's a lot of teams, a lot of good teams that would be happy to have those as their two best corners. There are pieces on this team. It's just where it's really, really important, more important than anywhere else, quarterback. They got to get it figured out, and that's what it keeps getting back to, quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. They've got to figure that out.
Yeah, I mean, that's been a struggle for a lot of programs. There's no doubt about that. Wes Rucker, Go Vols 24/7 senior writer, joining us here on the show. You mentioned Eric Gray, and that's actually where I wanted to turn to next, because we've talked about what hasn't worked offensively this year. Let's talk about what he has. He's been an absolute positive bright spot for them this year, hadn't he?
He has been. And you know, I'll say this, though. You know, what's that old Batman quote? You know, with great power comes great responsibility. Gray could be even better. I believe that. He has not been as consistent as I think anyone would like to see in terms of yards after contact, including, you know, once you get to the second level, can you make one guy miss and get to the third level? Because this guy, he is really elusive. It's hard to explain, but if you watch him, you understand he's just kind of got some wiggle to him. It doesn't ever look like he's really running that fast, but he's getting away from everybody. Mm-hmm. And he's quick, and his lateral quickness is really good. He's just got a little bit of something to him that makes him kind of tough to square up and tough to tackle. But he's also fast, and if he can get past one defender, you know, make a guy miss, you're talking about even more yardage. And I think that's the next step in his progression, because once he does that, once he starts hitting a few more home runs, then you're really talking about a good player, because this kid can catch the ball out of the backfield. His pass protection is okay, could be better, but it's okay. There's, I'm not going to say the sky's the limit because there are a lot of talented backs in this league, but he's one of them. He's a guy who I think, you know, another year or so, I think he could be a really good looking player for Tennessee, and he'll have to keep it up because the number one JUCO running back in the country, Tyon Evans, is coming to Tennessee too. He enrolls in January, so Gray's going to have more competition next season, regardless of whether Chandler decides to stay for another year or not. So yeah, I mean, I think when you look at the building blocks and the foundation pieces for this program going forward, they've got some of those. Mm-hmm. There's just a couple places they got to get it ironed out, or they're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, proper motivation is never a bad thing for you in terms of trying to keep your job. You just touching a little bit on the recruiting class. I mean, you got to feel good about what Pruitt and his staff have been able to do from that. I mean, we've known that that's a strength for them from their past, even before getting to Tennessee. Right now, 27 players in this class of 2021. Feel good to hold on to that group, maybe even add more.
Yeah, I mean, I think if they got to add, they're going to have to, you know, they're going to have to part ways with some other guys. I mean, that's just simple math. You know, they're going to have some trouble working out some of that stuff. But, you know, I don't have a lot of questions on the staff with development. You know, there's been a couple times in the, you know, this year and last year where there's maybe been those couple of five stars that it's like, you know, they lost them out to Georgia or Bama and you understand it. But if they could just get, you know, one of those guys, you know, like, you know, the freshman tight end there at LSU, you know, Ojulari, the other player. I mean, there's been a couple guys that they've just been right there. And, you know, they would be real, real difference makers. And they got to get maybe just a couple more of those guys. But in terms of, like, the basic building blocks of a good class to really boost your roster, they're doing that. And I think their player development, you know, at least the first 2 years, was really good. So I think, you know, this is going to be one of those deals where if people can exercise a little bit of patience, I really can see this thing getting okay. I still believe that. And I'm a guy who said earlier than most on Butch Jones that, hey, this guy's just temperamentally unfit. This is not going to work. And took some heat for that. But, you know, that's what I believed. And with Pruitt, I'm not there yet. I still see what they're doing behind the scenes. And there's no doubt it's a disappointing year, an unacceptable year. And there's no doubt that there's some things on the staff they got to change. There's some things they're going to have to tweak moving forward. They're going to have to learn from this year, and they're going to have to learn from it quick. But I see what they're doing, you know, kind of 30,000 feet up, the macro view, mm-hmm. and I still don't think it's in that bad of shape. I know people might go, what are you talking about, Wes? I think they might be okay.
Yeah, and that's actually the last point that I wanted to ask you about is the staff itself. I mean, I know that we had the story about a week ago of the pay cuts and some people saying no. I mean, is that kind of going to be the impetus for Phil Fulmer and for the Tennessee administration to go to Jeremy and say, hey, look, this year it went the way it went, but guess what? Now it's your time to kind of shuffle up the staff a little bit and go forward with that and see if it works even better.
I'll put it this way. I don't know that Pruitt will have to be talked into that. I think he's a guy who sees there are some areas of this team that really need to be coached a little better. You know, they thought they were making an upgrade in terms of, you know, as great a position coach as Tracy Rocker is, as great a D-line coach as he is, they thought, you know, he's getting a little older and wasn't quite as dynamic on the recruiting trail, so why not go with a guy like Jimmy Brumbaugh, who's a guy with a great young reputation, a guy that they all knew, and they felt great about that decision, bringing him in from Colorado, the former Auburn star. But then they brought him in, and it just was oil and water. It just did not work, and he got relieved of his duties after, like, five or six games. So you knew right away, okay, well, that didn't go right. So they're going to have to figure that out quickly and get a new defensive line coach after the season. And they're going to have to look at some other places too. You know, the quarterback's coach, Winkie, you know, is that somebody's got to take the fall for that. I mean, they've been really disappointing at that position. They've had some issues for a few years now. They just, something's not going right there. They're going to have to make, you know, look there, whether it's Jim Chaney spending more time with that group or what it is. I don't know. I don't really expect the coordinators to go anywhere necessarily, but I think on the other parts of the staff, I think you're probably going to see some movement.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be an interesting offseason. There's no doubt about it up there in Tennessee. And we'll see what the program looks like in 2021 going forward. I mean, who knows? It just might have just been a bout of bad luck in terms of how this year has gone. So
yeah, it was either that or the first sign of this wasn't going to work out for Pruitt. I mean, we'll find out pretty soon
for sure. Wes Rucker, GoVols247 senior writer, joining us here on the Chuck Oliver Show. Wes, really appreciate your time. Hopefully you have a great Thanksgiving, and hopefully Gus is able to fetch a couple of balls here in the next couple of days.
We'll probably go out there and kick some soccer balls here.
There we go.
We'll be okay.
I love it. Always great to talk with you, Wes, and we'll talk with you again soon.
Anytime, man.
I appreciate it. Wes Rucker again from GoVols247. And, yeah, I mean, look, you know, sometimes you can run into a situation where I've pointed out before with, teams that had just bad seasons. And you're thinking to yourself, of course, a bad season, when you put it in a fishbowl, everybody says, all right, that's the way that this thing is going. That's the way that the trending of this coaching staff and their recruiting, their development, everything of the such is for this program. It's time to make a change. Sometimes there's value in saying, no, I just think that was a bad 2020. And the more I just heard from Wes right there, and the more that I think about it, it sounds like that's what Philip Fulmer is going to look at this program as, is just say, we can't keep making changes around here and expect different results, because guess what? That's what we've been doing for the longest time, and look where we're at. So soon enough, patience might be the virtue, and in this case, we'll see if that is what is indeed in order for the Volunteers. All right, coming up next, I teased it earlier. Now is the time to get to it in the closing argument of Nick Saban knowing what was right to make the change even more than ever now. We'll discuss right here as we close out this Tuesday show on the Chuck Oliver Show. It's Dan Matthews in for Chuck, Southern Sports Today.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.
The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
A lot of fun today here on the program. Dan Matthews in for Chuck here. This is the Chuck Oliver Show, Southern Sports Today. And always want to remind people, too, if you ever miss the program, like say you're a Tennessee fan and you just missed our conversation with Wes Rucker, that's all right. Or if you're a Mississippi State fan, cool. Yesterday when I talked about LSU, I got you covered, all right? Download the Chuck Oliver Show daily on our Southern Sports Today app. Don't forget to take us with you. Like and subscribe, and it's the Chuck Oliver Show for you. Whenever you want it, wherever you are, download the Southern Sports Today app pretty much anywhere you can find apps, the Google Play Store, the Apple iTunes Store, any of those places, that's where you can find it. Without further ado, I teased it earlier. Now's the chance to get to it. It's time for the closing argument brought to you by Alexander Shinar and Associates.
The King's Closing Arguments, presented by the best closing attorneys in the business, Alexander Shinara and Associates.
Mississippi, Alabama, Florida, Tennessee. I mean, again, Chuck tells you all the time, I'll just expound on it. Basically, wherever you hear us, You can find the attorneys of Alexander Shinar and Associates. So, you know, with the changing of offenses in college football, seemingly the one guy who it always circles back to is Nick Saban, and of people saying, gosh, if this guy could change the way that he focused on his team winning games, then anybody can. And we've seen it now with Nick Saban. Pretty much it goes back to when Lane Kiffin got there and they won the national title with Jake Coker as quarterback. Things started to open up a little bit. Then fast forward a little bit, you had Jalen Hurts there. And again, things started to open up a little bit. But an interesting question that was asked to Nick Saban yesterday, because for the longest time, you could make the argument, and I know that Georgia fans are not going to like this, but that Alabama was running back you. I mean, look at all the great running backs that came out of there. Mark Ingram. I mean, you're seeing now what Derrick Henry is able to do. Damian Harris. Josh Jacobs. A lot of really good running backs have come out of that program over the last few years. And Saban asked about it because a few years ago it was a huge deal when he got Najee Harris to come all the way from the Bay Area of California and come play for him in Tuscaloosa. The best running back in the country, or at least one of them. I don't have the rankings in front of me, but I just know that he was an outstanding running back prospect. And it was one of those things that Nick Saban asked yesterday during his press conference that I thought was so interesting, where he was asked about, has he changed the way that he's recruited and signed quarterbacks? And his answer, what might surprise you?
In the old days when we look for running backs, we always like to have guys that are every down players. That means that they're good receivers and they have good hands and they can play well without the ball as well as with the ball. And you can utilize them in the passing game. So I think that's important now, but it's always been important to us. So we really haven't changed the way we think about that. But I guess different than the old days when you just got in the I formation and tossed the ball to the guy and he ran downhill all the time. It's certainly different than that.
So you just heard it right there. Is he didn't say that they've changed. The game has changed. And the way that the game is won has changed. I mean, we saw it years ago, just last year with LSU. That Ed Orgeron, a couple of years before, when he lost to Alabama, realized, I can't keep doing this anymore and expect a different result. It's not going to happen. Kirby, it seems like, in Athens, is, if JT Daniels is who they believe after one game, looking that direction as well. And he'll still get really good running backs to come play there. Zamir White, a good player for him. James Cook, he's still got him there on campus. Are they as good as Nick Chubb and Sony Michel? Probably not, but still good players. And Nick Saban's got the same thing right now, and the numbers bear it out as well. This season right now, Alabama, pretty much middle of the pack in terms of running the football this year, averaging about 180 yards per game. That's in the 40s. Let me take you back to 2017 when they had Damian Harris, Bo Scarborough, and also had Najee Harris, Josh Jacobs on that team as well. Alabama was one of the tops in the country. 250 yards per game is what they were getting. And that's also, too, factoring in that you had Jalen Hurts as your quarterback at the time, who was less of a pocket passer than what he became towards the end during his time in Athens and then going over to Oklahoma and playing for Lincoln Riley and the Sooners. But still, yes, I mean, four wides and having a great dynamic passing game, that matters. But having the running game to go along with that and having the back that can factor in to the passing game, it makes all the difference in the world, and Nick Saban has definitely found that out over the last few seasons, and it's paying off huge for him right now in the way that the Crimson Tide are playing, because they're the best team in the country right now. I don't think there's any doubt about that, and that's just the truth of the matter from what we've seen of the first few weeks of the season from the Crimson Tide. They'll probably be number one tonight and probably be number one, well, until they prove that they don't deserve to be number one anymore, and that's usually with a loss. So we'll see if that comes to fruition throughout the rest of this season. I want to thank David Holloway. I want to thank Matt Lear. I want to thank Dave Bartu, David Murray, also Wes Rucker, and everybody who was able to take in the show today. Always appreciate you, the listener, out there, as we will come back to you tomorrow. Chris Landry, Russ Mitchell, and more of the Chuck Oliver Show coming your way tomorrow. It's Dan Matthews in for Chuck, Southern Sports Today. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.